How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network with the Rain and Jays, John Corrales and Jay King. Thanking you for downloading us, tuning in, streaming us, however it is that you do it, through iTunes, through Google Play, Stitcher, the TuneIn app. We're on everything. And if we're not, let us know. We will get there. But just search Locked On Celtics wherever you are. If this is your first time listening, search for us, subscribe to us, give us a rating. We would really appreciate it. Before we get into the show, which is going to include the always interesting rookie survey and very expected cut of John Holland and some funny things on social media, including Isaiah Thomas making the Seattle Seahawks go nuts, we want to mention the rest of the network, because there's a lot of the network that you should be listening to. Speaking of football, if you are a Patriots fan, that season is about to get underway. Locked On Patriots, search for that. If you are a Patriots fan, you cannot miss that. It's a great podcast. NBA, rest of the NBA, you've got your fantasy drafts that are going to be coming up in about a month or so. You got to listen to Locked On Fantasy. Search for that. It's another great resource for you. You can absolutely dominate your fantasy league. And Locked On NBA, which covers the league in great detail. In fact, they David Locke had Kevin Pelton from ESPN on his last show. Sorry.
I liked it. Don't say sorry for that. That was nice.
Bill Simmons approves of that. But no, Kevin Pelton was on, giving his whole impression of the league. They're big into the real plus minus. They did a bunch of projections that we've spoken about on the show. Here's what Kevin Pelton had to say, a little bit of what he had to say about the Celtics.
Boston makes the big move over the offseason for Al Horford. How close is Boston to Cleveland?
I don't think that close, even though they come out fairly close in the RPM projections. I mean, part of that is a fairly conservative minutes allocation for the Cavaliers. They're able to ramp up the minutes of LeBron in particular in the playoffs and, you know, play a lot better lineups. And they've just been a dramatically different team in the playoffs. And I see no reason for that to change, even though, you know, Matthew Dellavedova, who they lost, was an RPM favorite, especially at the defensive end. Boston and Toronto is an interesting competition for second in the Eastern Conference. You know, last year, RPM had Boston projected second with 48 wins, and they ended up exactly nailing that 48-win projection, but still finished as high as the third because of the fact that Toronto so dramatically outperformed. I don't know if they'll do that again because, you know, Kyle Lowry's another year older, and they're really very dependent on him, but you know, we'll see. They're right there in the mix, and I like the Jared Sullinger signing for them a lot.
You like the Jared Sullinger signing?
I mean, why? At that money, they couldn't reasonably have done any better. I don't know. You know, I don't know how much he'll be able to play power forward next to Jonas Valanciunas, but I think, you know, he can replace Biombo as their backup center, and very different stylistically, obviously, in that role. But you know, he has consistently had good advanced stats, despite, you know, not looking as good perhaps on the court.
Okay, so make sure you tune in to Locked On NBA, download it, search for it, subscribe to it, because it's a great resource for the rest of the league. You get a nice general overview of the big things that are happening in the league. But for us, Celtics fans, Celtics Nation, it's time to look at what is popping in late August for the Celtics. And the big thing is the rookie survey. And this crop of rookies, Jay King, thinks that Jaylen Brown is the most athletic of the class.
Yeah, not a huge surprise there. Let me phrase this question to you. How do you think his athleticism will translate his first year just as a rookie?
I think he'll have opportunities to get past some defenders, and I think he'll be throwing down some highlight dunks. But I don't think his rookie year is going to be much different than, say, Gerald Green's rookie year or something. I think he'll have some athletic plays, but he'll still struggle to shoot and he'll struggle to grasp some concepts. But I think athletically, he'll break free because he can and at least provide some highlights.
He's going to have – so I was thinking about this earlier. And to me, Isaiah Thomas is by far their biggest highlight guy. But he's not like a regular highlight guy. He's like – I feel like he's a highlight guy that basketball purists appreciate the most. Like, he goes in with twisting, like layups high off the glass that I feel like you have to be a real basketball fan to appreciate how tough that is for a 5'9" guy to do that.
Right.
And, like, the one-legged runners, all the crap he does is just absurd. And the fact that someone his size can do it is just blows my socks off every single night. Jaylen Brown is like the conventional highlight guy. He's going to be the highlight guy that everybody sees the vine and is like, whoa.
Yeah, right.
That dude is stupid athletic and stupid strong. And I think he'll get to the free throw line a lot per 36 minutes. I don't know how many minutes he'll play. I do think he's going to have like a highlight or two every game, whether it's a steal, a block, a dunk. That's just like, whoa. The Celtics don't normally have guys like that. So it's going to be fun to watch him. I don't know how good he'll be, but it's going to be fun.
This goes back to...
Jaylen Brown is like he's a fun character, I feel like. Like, his Snapchat's funny. He's like...
he's an interesting guy.
Like, making
he's
fun of Jimmy
guy.
Butler. His dad is a 7-foot boxer who just looks like an absolute menace. I mean... I'm all in on the Jaylen Brown experience so far, and he hasn't even played a game yet.
Right. It's going to be fun. It's definitely going to be fun. And this goes back to the superlative show when I said that he's going to be the most likely to get me driven crazy by people comparing him to Jeff Green. Because Jeff Green, he's actually going to have a season probably very similar to Jeff Green in terms of highlight versus production. But he's not going to have that kind of career, I don't think. I don't think he's going to have that lackadaisical type of approach and that kind of sleepy-eyed attitude. I just think that he's going to be better than that. But because he's a rookie, he'll have those moments where it's just he struggles, and then he'll break free for this huge highlight. And that's why a lot of people are going to be comparing this season to Jeff Green, because I think that's the type of thing we're going to see. But
question, random question that kind of has to do with this. Was Jeff Green the most frustrating Celtic of the past like 15 or 20 years?
Wow, we're going back 15 to 20 years.
10 or 15?
10 or 15 years.
Like recent memory, is Jeff Green the most frustrating Celtic?
Off the top of my head,
I think a lot of people would say Rondo.
Rondo, yeah. I mean, we're going way back now.
But Rondo also had like playoff runs where he was absurd, and stretches where it was just like, okay, that guy's the best player on the court. And
that was different.
I mean, fully realized. And whenever the stakes were high, he's tended to be there.
No one's been around long enough to be that frustrating, to be that good and not live up to the promise. So I feel like I'm missing an obvious
Antoine one. Walker was probably some people's most frustrating.
Yeah, but that I was young
enough where I was just all aboard the Antoine train. Like it didn't strike me that he was so inefficient and could have maximized his skills so many different ways. I was just like, yeah, I love that dude who's shimmying and scoring all these points. So I think if Antoine had come along later in my life, I would have been a lot more frustrated with him than I was.
Yeah. No, I would say, Jeff Green, Rondo's a good call, but I think Rondo kind of developed into that later. Jeff Green was always kind of frustrating. We just kept waiting, like, okay, here comes – he had a good game.
Here comes the next good game. Here's where he puts it together, and he never put it together. So
who else would be on that list? Because you have to be talented enough where it's like you can give a lot more. There are a lot worse players than Jeff Green, and
no, right. You have to be good enough for people to say, "Wow, if only." Jared Sullinger?
Sullinger was probably that way for a lot of people. Although, to me, it's like considering that he was the weight he was, and considering he could only move as fast as he moved, he did a damn good job to be a productive player. And he was good. He could have been a lot better. And I understand why people would be really frustrated with him. But to me, like, Jeff Green had everything except the ability to play consistently good basketball.
Yeah,
and a handle. His handle was bad.
Yeah, I mean, unless he was going right, then it was great. But going left, like, he just was not going to go left at all. So, I don't know who else is on that list. I mean, the only guys that I can think of on the list are guys on the team right now or just left, like Sullinger. People might find Kelly Olynyk that way, but they're so young. There's still time.
And Olynyk, it was like there was never the expectation.
Yeah,
that he could be better. Like, it's not like KG's sitting there like, oh yeah, Kelly Olynyk's going to be an all-star, like he used to say about Jeff Green. And I don't know. I don't even think Jeff Green would be my most frustrating guy, but I don't even know who would. I'm trying to, like, there has to be someone who is more frustrating than him.
And I don't know, man.
Like, and then there was a whole, like, the trade thing. Where, like, they were pretty damn good the year that trade happened. And then the trade happened, and Jeff Green was kind of like, yeah, wish we hadn't made that trade, man.
Yeah, I don't – I'm just gonna leave it there. I think it's just Jeff Green, and then Rondo is your –
All right, yeah, let's get to more fun topics, man.
Why, yeah.
I just depressed everyone. I'm very sorry, people. I just
that's your own fault.
I just
Do you want to get
complete
into
– tangent here.
I don't think there's anything more to get into with the Jalen Brown. I mean, he's just voted the most athletic. He was, you know, tied for third, tied for fourth, tied for fifth, and a bunch of these other things. But he voted most athletic, which doesn't really mean much. Rookies generally aren't great judges of these superlatives.
Bad. Like, rookies would make awful GMs, man. But one thing that was really surprising to me was he got votes for the biggest sleeper in the draft class,
like, right, the third sleeper. Overall pick.
He was like a surprise number three overall pick, like not even the expected number three overall pick, and this guy's a sleeper.
Yeah, so that's the rookies for you. So yeah, but still fun to talk about Jalen Brown's athleticism, because it's going to be something to watch. At least I hope he gets a few minutes off the bench. And he will provide some highlights. When he gets on the floor, he will provide some highlights, especially once he settles down and the coaches and the players get him to get into a little bit of a groove and just say, just do your thing. Just do what you do well right now, and just we'll figure the rest out.
What's going to be cool is I want to see the alley-oop plays Brad Stevens draws for him.
Oh, my God.
Like, can we get some fun Jalen Brown alley-oop plays, please, Brad? Please, like, just some absurd trickeration. Like the annexation of Puerto Rico and Jalen Brown goes baseline for a huge slam. I'm in for that.
The annexation of Puerto Rico.
That was a Little Giants reference. I hope you got that.
I did not.
Oh, you should have, man. That's bad.
Sorry.
That was their trick play. That was it. The annexation of Puerto Rico.
Okay, so John Holland was waived today in other news. The expected waving of John Holland. I am plowing through this. The expected waving of John Holland. Timing, Jay King, a little bit off. Yeah,
just because I thought he'd come to training camp, but they were probably just doing him a solid and letting him latch on with another team, whether it's in the NBA or Europe. And I mean, guys like James Young and RJ Hunter are going to be competing for a roster spot. John Holland, 27-year-old journeyman who played 1 minute last year and was signed basically so that they could have his non-guaranteed salary on the books just in case, he never had a chance. So not unexpected at all. except the timing. And the timing was just to do him a favor. Celtics have done some guys a favor with the Colton Iverson thing, releasing their rights to him, and now the John Holland thing. Like, they've got to be in the good graces of agents the way they treat players.
I was going to bring up the Colton Iverson thing. It's definitely a good signal to agents to say, look, we've got to do our business, and we're going to hold on to these guys for a little while. But we're not going to dick around with your careers. We're going to let you work with us for a couple of years, and then if it doesn't work out, we don't see you solidly in our future, we'll let you go. And you can go make your money and try to hook on with somebody else or go to Europe. And that's what they're doing. Holland, like you said, is 27. Now, 27 is your athletic prime. He's only got a few years left. So if he's going to go make some serious money, then he's got to go to Europe, and he could probably be pretty good over there, or go to China and probably be pretty good. It's probably not his dream, and that sucks. You know, from a player perspective, I know what it's like to have a dream and not have it necessarily work out the way you think. You just, things just don't work for everybody. But to do Holland a favor, to give him a chance to maybe work out for other teams, find a situation that works for him, or find a team overseas somewhere where he can go and make some decent money for a little while, that's good of the Celtics. And that just makes agents more likely to work with them, more likely to let players kind of say, look, if you want to pursue your dream, go here. Just like the Abdel Nader situation. He could have forced his hand, but he decided to do the D-League thing. And I think this is just speculation on my part. I think that this has something to do with it, though, when they say, look, we feel like he could be a part of this, but we need him to do this thing for us in the D-League for a season. And then we'll see. So, young guy, there's no need to piss off a franchise. There's no need to, you know, make a power play already. Do what you got to do. Prove yourself in Portland. And then next summer league, see if you can hook on. And if you can't, then maybe the Celtics at that point say, all right, now we'll do you the favor and let you go. You didn't work out for here, and now you can go. So that's just all good points, good karma, and good business for on the Celtics part. So I like that.
I'm in too.
So that's it for basically the news portion of this podcast. Now let's go to social media, where we get basically all of the things that sustain us through August and September. The big thing, the most awesome thing, Isaiah Thomas shows up at the Seahawks facility. They set up a basketball hoop, and he just wows the crowd. And just it's amazing to see professional football players, elite professional football players, they're a good team, be completely mesmerized and completely into Isaiah Thomas just hitting shot after shot after shot after shot. It was an amazing video. It was awesome.
It's got to be the best feeling, right? To go to a Super Bowl caliber team, get invited to their practice, and be like the guest of honor. They had Isaiah Thomas highlight videos when they introduced him. And then you make the whole room of grown-ass men act like high schoolers, like giddy high schoolers meeting their idol for the first time, like jumping up and go wild. And like, that has to be the coolest feeling. Like, yeah, these guys are all they could be my idols if I wasn't who I am, but here they are going nuts, absolutely nuts, because of what I can do with a basketball in my hands. That is very, very awesome. I love stuff like that for whatever reason.
I know. You know what? It is great because it just shows a human side to professional athletes. Like, you just see these guys, football players. Our only interaction with football players is locker room after a game. You see them on the field. They're always so hyped up and everything. Everything's so serious. But they're sports fans too. I mean, their job is to play football, but a lot of those guys are huge NBA fans. Look at the Celtics games. You got Patriots all over the place. And you got NFL players at NBA games all the time. A lot of those guys probably wish they could play in the NBA and get those guaranteed contracts, but they got to play in the NFL because that's just what their athleticism allows them to do. To have a guy in the NBA, especially from the Seattle, a Seattle native, to come in and, you know, you watch this guy, and he's a very likable guy. Isaiah Thomas is just supremely likable. And for being a little guy and overcoming a lot, it's very relatable to a lot of people. And it's just fun to see the interaction between them, because for 45 seconds, those guys aren't NFL players. They're just NBA fans enjoying an elite guy doing what he does best.
Yeah, and another funny layer to that is Isaiah Thomas is a Denver Broncos fan who last month was with Tom Brady trying to recruit Kevin Durant. So he's like got this whole thing set worked out where he's just like goes to whatever team wants him for the time being. And that guy, he lives the life, man. He was just on a honeymoon in Bora Bora with his new wife. Now he's at the Seahawks practice, making all these NFL stars go berserk. He's had one hell of a summer.
Yeah, this really is the summer of Isaiah. He's done pretty well. It's been pretty great for him. It's good for him. Good for him.
He's got to have so much energy. If I did as much stuff as he did, I would just be wiped out. I wouldn't be able to function, man. I would.
Yeah, and in the middle of it all, in the middle of all of it, he's still playing ball and working out and trying to improve his game. He's like still doing all of the off-season stuff that you need to do while he's also doing this other stuff. So, man, he's just love Isaiah Thomas. There's nothing not to love about Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
Okay.
All positive energy from that guy. All positive energy.
Next on the social media list. If you happen to be walking through lovely Kamloops and you get yourself down to whatever basketball court this is, you'll know what basketball court it is, because on the fence now stands a 16-foot mural of one Kelly Olynyk. So if there is ever a reason to visit Kamloops, British Columbia, this is it. If you haven't seen it, It's a scene, man. It's a thing. It's just a smirking Kelly Olynyk. Hair draped over his shoulders, staring at you through the fence.
I love it. Like, just, it's the perfect photo of Kelly Olynyk to turn into a mosaic. Like, just him smirking, grilling whoever comes onto that court. Like, just glaring at everybody. It's cool. It took two months to build. Like, this guy has done them before. I'd never seen a fence decorated like that, or even close to it before. No,
I've seen like people stuff cups into the fence and try to make like words, but this is nuts. This is all like recycled aluminum siding.
And it's good too. You can tell it's Kelly Olynyk. You can easily tell.
Oh, there's no doubt. There is no doubt that this is a Kelly Olynyk, and it took a long time. It took a long time. The artist is Bill Freymeyer. So if you haven't seen it, go ahead and Google it. Just Google Kelly Olynyk fence and it'll pop up. It's a really good job. And it's just kind of intense when you read how long it took and the amount of effort to get now. But then what happens with this now? It just kind of sits there until things start to fall off the fence.
Yeah, so the artist told me that he anticipates like balls will hit it from players playing basketball, and he'll have to like do touch-ups every once in a while, and it should last for at least 10 years, maybe 20, and it'll be good. It'll just be Kelly Olynyk just grilling whoever comes on that court.
I wonder if the good people at the Kamloops Department of Tourism will include this in their tourism video. Hey, come by and see the Kelly Olynyk fence, eh?
I wasn't prepared for the Canadian accent, man. That was great. Yeah, and the funny thing is, the guy, he got a grant to do it, and he didn't know he was going to do it about Kelly Olynyk. And it's actually at the school where Kelly Olynyk's father, Ken, is the athletic director.
Oh, wow.
It's like, it's got to be like right outside Ken Olynyk's office is just his son staring into his soul.
You know, I made one of these for you.
Yeah. You should get this for me for my next birthday next year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll make one of these. Actually,
once our podcast blows up, you should hire Freymeyer to come to my neighborhood and make a Kelly Olynyk fence for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll have him make a Kelly Olynyk fence for you.
Yeah.
It's just Kelly Olynyk staring at your childhood home.
Yeah. I'm in.
All right.
He'd protect me.
What would Kelly do? All right, last item on this goofy little podcast of ours. Jonas Jerebko is super into esports. Super into video games.
Think about what we've talked about today. We've talked about rookie survey. We've talked about a mosaic on a fence. We have talked about esports. We are talking like just the whole shebang right now. But we continue with the Jonas Jerebko.
We are scraping not the bottom of the barrel, like every inch of the barrel. We're disassembling the barrel to scraping between the slats. But Jonas Jerebko is a video game nut. If you haven't noticed from his Twitter, if you don't follow him on Twitter, he is an aficionado of the video games, which now apparently are known as esports. It's not just playing video games anymore. This is now competitive leagues with teams, and Jonas Jerebko bought a team. And this is legit stuff. This isn't like...
I love that, man. Like, I feel like I would have been the most prized free agent back when I was like 10 or 11 years old. Like, I would have been the premier free agent on the eSport block. Like, anybody need an NBA Live player? Bam. Like sign that dude, Jay King. Like, big money, max contract. Anybody need NHL? I didn't know a single thing about hockey. I was the best NHL 06 player of all time. I used to smack people by like 10 goals, man. I was something to behold back then.
What happened to you? How does it feel that the pinnacle of your life was the 10 or 11-year-old NBA Live genius?
I mean, I was devastated. I used to play. Remember the old March Madness game?
Oh, yeah.
I used to play as Marquette. I played a whole season. I played every single game with the team. I averaged 80.
Was Doc Rivers part of that team?
No, this wasn't that old, man. I'm only 29. I just turned 29, man. I'm not as old as you.
But ouch.
I played every game. I averaged 80 plus points with Travis Diener. Travis Diener. And for some reason, they didn't give me like the player of the year. I was so mad. Like, I think I averaged too many points to get the player of the year. Like, it just broke the game. I scored so many points.
I feel like we're getting into some therapy here.
Travis,
what happened? Senior. What happened, Jay, after you were denied player of the year? How did you feel?
Yeah, that was a devastating moment. I think I was actually pretty upset, to be honest. Like, I put my whole life into that thing. I played like four games a night. I spent my whole summer playing March Madness, whatever year it was. Travis Diener, man, I found the glitch in the game. It was a crossover to the left, three-pointer from the top of the key. He hit it every single time. I was a legend back then.
My legendary basketball goes back to the days of Double Dribble on Nintendo.
Ooh, that was a great game. Did you used to play Little League World Series?
No, I didn't play Little League World Series.
That's the most underrated game of all time.
Really? I never got into that.
And anybody who has played Little League World Series, tweet at me, because that was unreal. I used to play that game all the time.
Dude, I go back to the days of Atari Pac-Man, where the Pac-Man wouldn't even, you'd move left, his face wouldn't turn up or down. He'd just move side to side. His mouth would be moving like to the right, but you'd still be you'd move it to the left, and he'd just go bop, 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 bop around the whole thing. It looked like, I mean, you just Google that. Google Atari Pac-Man. It, I mean,
I'm going to have to. Little League World Series was hilarious because all the power hitters, they made them fat. So
Yeah. That's like RBI best, baseball, they did that.
Yeah.
RBI the baseball, which I played a lot.
Yeah.
Now, see, that's probably...
The best team was Canada, and they had this dude, Peter, who was like, must have been like 350 pounds. This dude, Albert, who was just about the same weight, and they used to just hit bombs, man. Canada, all wraps back to Canada today. Kamloops.
Yeah, seriously.
They should have that Albert mural, too, right next to Kelly Olynyk on that fence. Albert from Little League World Series.
Fat Albert from Canada? Okay.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Jonas Jerebko has invested money in this thing. And it just here's the thing.
I bet he makes a lot of money. That's going to blow up.
So, as you wrote today on Mass Live, the top earning franchise the last year earned nearly $9 million in tournaments. $9 million to play video games.
That's almost twice his salary with the Celtics, man.
Oh, my God. Now, the team that he bought earned only about $50,000. But I'm sure if he turns them into a powerhouse. Now, think about that. Let's apply the NBA economics to this. $9 million. Split that. So he makes $4.5 million. Other people play video games, and they give Jonas Jerebko $4.5 million for it. And then Jonas Jerebko turns around and pays a bunch of people $4.5 million combined to play video games.
I need to get back on my video game grind, man. If they play Little League World Series in esports, I'm in. Jonas, I'm going to talk to Jonas. I'm going to try to get a spot on that squad.
Man, I got to start learning how to play Halo.
I think didn't it say he purchased a Call of Duty team too?
Yeah, He said it's a League of Legends, Call of Duty, Halo, and Overwatch players. I only know two of those things.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't even know those games, man.
I just...
Sports no. games. I was never one of those shooting games type of guys.
Except for Contra.
See, those are that's old school, man.
Man! Jesus!
That's old school.
This is disheartening. Your youth vexes me.
I could do Duck Hunt.
Yeah, well, yeah, everybody can do Duck Hunt with a dog that laughs at you when you miss. Screw that dog, man. The gun was warped.
I used to be the cheater, though. I'd be right up next to the TV screen like,
of course you were. Of course you were. How else did you cheat in these games? You've just admitted to like finding the glitches and cheating the hell out of these games. That's like doping.
Nah, if you play enough and find the glitch, you own that glitch. You earn that glitch.
That is the actual key. I've played like Madden. I stopped playing Madden a little while ago, but you know the key was always finding which way you can move like a defensive lineman in some weird way that you could always go unblocked and get to the quarterback and get like 12 sacks a game or something like that. that was always like, oh, now I know if I do this, like it's just the thing. But anyway, now let me ask you this: playing the sports games. Do you play with the teams as they are, or do you like to create yourself and put them on the team? Are you a created player type of guy or not?
So I haven't played video games too much in a long time, and I never really created a player. The only time, so I must have been like 14 years old. My buddies all came over for the weekend, and no lie, we all created our own players. There was like four of us. And we all created our own players and just simulated every game to see who would be the MVP. Like, we tried to actually put our attributes, like, somewhat what it would be if we were on an NBA team.
Right. I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, you take your attributes at your current level, but you just assume that your current level is the NBA. So if you're a good shooter at your level, you become a good NBA shooter. I get it.
Exactly.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, my best friend was really good, and he would always win MVP, and I'd always be like third team All NBA. Man, it was tough. It was a tough man.
What I like about the more current NBA games, like the 2K games, which I think I stopped playing those maybe two versions ago. But you can create yourself, but it doesn't allow, like, some people would create themselves and jack up all of the things and just be like, you know, Jordan and LeBron and Larry Bird wrapped into one. But these games, they allow you, you can create yourself and make yourself kind of look however you want to look, but you actually have to earn the attributes. So the more you play the game, you can become a god of the game, but you will have earned that status as opposed to just jacking up your certain attributes. You have to go through drills and you have to earn a spot on the team and whatever. So I like
that's
doing
too
that.
Too much for me, man. That's too much.
I love that. I love that mode. That's the first thing I do. If I get that, if I bought a new system now and I got the latest 2K game, I'd be creating myself. First thing I would do and try to get myself onto a team and try to get my way to the Celtics too. You can like force a trade now. I'd definitely try to get my way onto the Celtics. Oh, totally. Totally. I don't know how many people, if you're listening, what you do. I'd like to hear it. I really would like to hear it. So tweet at me. Tweet at Jay. I want to hear if, because I feel like there are sides. Do you create a player or not create a player? And Jonas Jerebko, if you're listening, I'll quit my job. I'll just kind of focus. I'll play real hard. You don't have to worry about me. I just want to get a little piece of this action.
No lie. If he starts like at NBA Live 95 or like March Madness 01.
There's got to be, man.
I would be a legend.
You know, I'll even say this. I feel like there's an opportunity at the minority owner level. Like if there's like a 10% share of the team, I can't imagine that a team that won $50,000 last year is really worth a whole lot. I feel like I probably could scrape together a little bit of money to get in at that like 5% ownership stake, like the Jay-Z stake.
It's like buying the Sacramento Kings, man, and just trying to turn them into a monster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just want to be the guy. I just want to be the owner. Like the guy who can say I'm an owner but has no real power. I know nothing. But like I'm just showing up on TV and in the sidelines or something like that. Like, oh, he's a part owner. Jonas Jerebko.
I wonder if those guys know who Jonas Jerebko is.
Yeah. That guy's tall, man. He should be like a basketball player.
They might know him by his gamer handle. Like,
right.
Like he played a lot of games.
They'll probably pop in like an NBA 2K and go like, that guy's got the same name, man.
Yeah, like oh, Swedish Larry Bird 57 is awesome, man.
You think that he actually calls himself Swedish Larry Bird? That'd be amazing.
I hope he does.
Awesome. I hope he does. All right. That's a good place to wrap this sucker up. Nice way to end the week. Nice way to end August. The month is over. September is here, which means we're one step closer to actual NBA basketball. We're a few weeks away from going back to our daily podcasts with a lot more to talk about as camp comes up. Definitely, if this is your first time listening, subscribe to us because we're going to be pumping these episodes out fast and furious. So find us, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, whatever it is, wherever you get your podcasts, search for us. If this is your first time listening, subscribe, leave us a comment. And by the way, if you are looking to go to any games, reminder to download the SeatGeek app. Download the app, go into the settings, find where you can enter a promo code, enter LO Celtics as the promo code. Your first ticket purchase, you'll get a $20 rebate. So LO Celtics is the promo code on the SeatGeek app. You'll get a $20 rebate on your first ticket purchase. That's the show, everybody. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time here on the Locked On Celtics podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network.